JMI Wealth, Friday morning. Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Did Kent bounce or the real thing?
Well, that does remain to be seen, and the key, we'll talk about it in some detail, but the key here, I think, over the rest of the year is to what degree do some of these supply constraints and labour constraints actually play in how the picture transpires. But we're talking about first quarter GDP, aren't we, Mike? And we waited for that number, and if you were looking for a surprise, you wouldn't have been disappointed. So, look, I suspected that the number was going to be strong and the risk was to the upside, which is what transpired, although in a far more spectacular style than I think anyone imagined. And I think we should put a bit of context in here. I mean, you recall that there was concerns that the New Zealand economy was going to go into recession. Remember that? Talking about recession. Two consecutive negative quarterly outcomes for GDP. Then some of those key markers looked like they were trending in the right direction, and in some cases quite markedly. Recall Q1 retail sales. Remember, that was a really good illustration of that. And I think I commented at the time that it would prompt upward revisions to Q1 GDP, and we got the number yesterday. But going into it, geez, Mike, the RBNZ forecast, -0.6.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether the timing of their forecast gave them the opportunity to revise the forecast in the same manner as the private sector economists. I'm not sure, you'd have to look into that, but the private sector economists clustered around 0.5 to 0.8, and the outcome wasn't even close. I mean, 1.6% for the quarter, so the little economy at the bottom of the world is running pretty hot. There are some interesting statistical observations in here, Mike. The unallocated component of production GDP was up 7.2%. That contributed 0.6% of that result, and I'm still just trying to understand exactly what that unallocated component is. And these numbers are still quite noisy. But annual growth is 2.4%. Now, if you compare GDP to a pre-COVID benchmark, we're up 0.8%. So from where we were prior to COVID. So we have achieved that transition at the moment.
So what you're saying, just because this is important, because up until now there's only six countries in the world that have done that. So what you're saying is our economy has taken all the damage and we're out the other side to the positive.
Far stronger than we had expected.
Okay.
Yeah, that is actually the case. So, you know, service industry is up 1.1, goods producing industry up 2.4. GDP per capita, Mike, which is the one that's been really sticky, that we really couldn't move because we just keep importing people, that's up 1.5%. So, you know, there were some backward revisions as well. So stronger than expected outcomes in retail, wholesale trade. So what are the implications, though, Mike? So it's very much a backward-looking indicator. You do have to remember that. This is what was happening between January and March. But it gives us a stronger starting point from what's happening now. From the market point of view, lots of reaction in terms of where does this put the Reserve Bank? Where do they sit now? Because a lot of the pressure here is increasingly inflationary. And the other thing, Mike, that we haven't noticed, this occurred in the peak period of the lost summer of tourism. So that very important pillar of the economy wasn't even there.
Yeah.
So you got to ask the question, can the Reserve Bank really leave the monetary conditions so stimulatory until the second half of next year?
Well, what it tells you, apart from anything, that's what $100 billion worth of debt buys you. When you throw that amount of money into the economy, that's what you get, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, but Mike, just remember, and this is something that really needs to be hammered home, that debt gets bigger and bigger.
Correct.
Over the next 2 years. It has not peaked yet.
And wait till the interest rates start going up and the bill comes in on that.
Yep.
Now, Fed Reserve, did they freak out?
Yeah, so look, one of the things is we expected to see a reaction in the currency yesterday after the GDP, but it didn't happen because all of this was happening in the wake of the Fed. The Fed, we didn't freak out, but what has happened, and we had a chance to look at the headlines yesterday, but there was evidence of a collective belief here in a faster transition to a full recovery. So more Fed members, they've now shifted to an earlier liftoff for the Fed funds rate to 2023. Now, what that is, Mike, is that's supportive of the US dollar. And in this case, that support for the US dollar trumped what we would have expected to see on the New Zealand dollar. So we've now actually got the New Zealand dollar lower, which is counterintuitive to what you would have expected with that GDP number.
It's a wild world, isn't it? What are the numbers?
It is. So we've got a bit of divergence going on at the moment here. The Dow Jones 33,814 is down 219 points. The S&P 500 has gone nowhere at 4,225, but the Nasdaq is up 128 points, 14,168. FTSE 100 up down 31, 7153. The Nikkei 29,018, down 272 points. Shanghai Composite 3525 up 7. The ASX 200 lost 27 points yesterday, 7359. And that good GDP number couldn't shift. The NZX 50 were down 40. 12,541 on the currencies, flirting at 70 cents, 0.7005 against the US, 0.9268 Aussie, 0.5879 Euro, 0.5032 pounds, 77.22 Japanese yen, gold, $1,778.45, and you'll be comfortable, Mike. Brent crude gone down a bit, $72.74. Happy days.
Long may the trend continue. We'll see you next week. You have a good weekend. Appreciate it. JMIWealth.co.nz, Andrew Keller, one and only.